Everything you know will change.
Like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans. Welcome to The Rundown. College football, NFL football, Bowman Gray Racing, and much, much more on this beautiful Saturday morning. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson. In studio, I'm joined by my crew, my man, Rod Funderburk, Brandon Blakeney in the house.
Yes, sir.
Sawyer Dillon back from vacation, running our ones and twos. Aaron Gabriel in the house, man, in our social media. The whole crew is here today. 336-777-1600 is the number to call to chime in on any of our topics today. We're going to start off with our Twitter poll question like we usually do, and it centers around our beloved Carolina Panthers. Aaron, you want to tell the folks out there what our Twitter poll question is for Saturday morning?
Who do you think will be the breakout player for the Carolina Panthers this season? Dante Jackson, Curtis Samuel, or DJ Moore?
Interesting choices there. Yeah,
really
definitely.
Good choices there.
Hit us on Twitter, Sports Hub Triad, or at Sports Carolina 1 if you got questions or things you want us to comment on over the course of this Saturday morning. I wanted to originally start off with college football, but we're going to push that back just a couple of minutes in this segment because something else has happened over the past 24 hours, man. And it has to do with Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown. The weird case of Antonio Brown. Apparently he is saying he's not going to play football ever again unless he can wear the helmet that he wants to wear. And just to give a little backstory on this, the player safety is a huge deal for the NFL. You know, they're getting beat over the head. Well, not beat over. That's probably the wrong choice of words. But they're getting beat up over concussions and CTE and things like that. So they test helmets and they give them ratings. And if they don't meet standards or if they're older than 10 years, they can't be worn. Before last season, the model that Antonio Brown has been wearing, who's also it's worn by Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, was outlawed, but the NFL allowed them to wear that helmet for 2018 only. Now that it's 2019, all those players are required to switch helmets, and Brown does not want to, according to reports. Apparently, he claims it's harder to see in it. The helmet he wants to wear, it's past the 10-year age limit. And he's saying it protrudes out, interferes with his vision as he's trying to catch the football. So on that end, I kind of understand. But, I mean, Tom Brady's got to switch. Aaron Rodgers has got to switch.
Yeah.
And if they got to switch, bro, you got to switch too. Plus, I don't know. Receivers in the league have to switch. What was that, Rod?
The other receivers in the league, they have to switch.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, Rod, all the other receivers have to switch as well. And it's a problem, I guess, for AB, but he's just like everybody else. He's not too big time for that. My thing is, though, that's not the only reason he made headlines. And I think we have to discuss, too, that it could be a cover-up for my man's feet right now.
Yeah, that's probably where we need to go here because
they're looking crazy.
Before all this happened, before the Hard Knocks episode came out last, I think it was Tuesday night, Antonio Brown apparently got into a cryogenic chamber and didn't have the proper footwear or something.
Yeah, my man.
He's claiming he
no
messed up
shoes?
His feet.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but we just looked at the picture of his feet before the show began, and that doesn't look like frostbite.
There's no frostbite in sight.
And I think Aaron made a good point on the drive Friday in terms of frostbite and how it typically looks. And we're just looking at this picture. It doesn't appear to be frostbite. It looks almost like.
To me, it looks like a bad case of the fungus, and you like, tried to cut half of it off, and it didn't work.
Like two big blisters, and then the dead skin around.
It's like he peeled it off or something, or tried to, and it didn't work. And I'm thinking of Antonio Brown's game. It's all speed and cutting, and he has to use his feet. His feet work is great in terms of like what he does as a receiver. So if he doesn't have his feet, he can't play.
No, I mean,
he can't play.
We saw the feet on Dancing with the Stars. My man can't
move. I forgot he was on Dancing with the Stars.
Now, I did something like that to my heel one time I was playing basketball outside. So I've seen a blister like that. But for it to cover the entire foot, though?
That brings us to this wider question then. And I want the public to chime in. 336-777-1600. Is Antonio Brown using this helmet change rule as an excuse because he's received notice about his feet that he did not like in terms of like the diagnosis. He's going to miss time or he shouldn't be playing anymore. Oh my God, what are you doing wearing shoes? These feet are messed up. You really need to go find. Like, how do you fix this? Like, how do you fix something like this when skin is getting grafted off?
Didn't you say it was reported that he had to go and get a second opinion or wanted a second opinion?
Yeah. So, like, before they got to training camp, they were talking about his feet, and the report was he was going to get a second opinion on the feet. We never heard what the second opinion was, but then magically 4 or 5 days later, we get this about the helmet thing. And back in March, he had an interview with ESPN where he was saying he didn't even need football. Like,
all the stuff was paid for.
He was a millionaire. He didn't need it. And that threw red flags up for me right then and there because I think that might have been before he got traded.
Yeah, I think AB, though, is at a point where, truthfully, he could be more of a celebrity than a football player right now. There's certain football players, you know, there's Tom Brady, doesn't really need football. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is another guy that doesn't necessarily need football. They can still make money off endorsements, social media, stuff like that.
You think Antonio Brown's at that level of, like, recognition?
Yeah. AB is very, very interesting guy. I think he could start a podcast or a show, like a little reality show. Everybody's getting him nowadays.
He seems like...
interesting dude.
It's not that he's strange. It seems like he's
a bit strange,
like wired differently.
Yeah, I think he would just be a fad, though. I think he would be a quick fad. You tune in for a little while, but then you tune out. But my thing is this: Antonio Brown, and being a former football player, you know, a lot of football players, I'd say 80 to 90%, are not the smartest people in the world. So you're talking about this guy going to a cryo chamber. Why is it that the folks who manned the cryo chamber did not say, hey, Antonio Brown, this is what you need to be wearing. Protective gear on your feet. Right. Protective gear in the other extremities of your body. This is what you need to have on. You know, sometimes football players and athletes in general need to be protected from themselves.
Talk your talk, Rod.
I'm just saying, man, I do not understand why you go into something that gets, what, -215?
Yep.
And you do not protect yourself adequately?
Was that the first time he's ever been
in
one?
No, so it was noted, one, he's done this multiple times. This is something he's familiar with. Two, he's actually done it with this guy, and the guy that he did it with, the doctor, has done it with multiple NFL personnel. So this was not even close to either of these guys' first rodeo. They're both familiar with the procedure and the equipment. So it's just really a mind-boggler right now. How in the world... you let those million-dollar feet get turned into nuggets. Some things look crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having questions about Antonio Brown in the mental capacity right now.
He's an odd dude to me.
You know, because when this whole stuff with issues with him and Ben Roethlisberger, and I just thought, hey, maybe Antonio Brown, you know, he's on to something. He's right. Ben Roethlisberger is the culprit in that whole case. And not saying that he's not. But looking at this whole situation right here, mm-hmm. I'm just starting to doubt this guy. Like, what is wrong with him, man? Something's up.
Here's my question. If, say, he doesn't play again because of the helmet thing, what does he have to give back what he just got from the Raiders? Like, because he just got a big signing bonus, didn't he?
He did.
Like, all the whining, all the complaining, all the... the videos in the locker room while the coach is saying, don't put this on social media.
He's still in there. He's doing numbers. I feel like AB is an entertaining guy. I don't know if football isn't associated with it. Is he still as entertaining? I don't know. But I mean,
my man rocked a blonde mustache.
He did. Yeah. That was outrageous.
You remember that? He had
the like,
it just
mustache.
Looked, I mean, just, it, I don't.
Like my man from Sons of Anarchy had the blonde mustache. That was crazy.
336-777-1600 if you want to chime in on this Antonio Brown situation. He's making Hard Knocks more interesting than I expected it to be. I will say that because I watched the first episode, and they were talking about his feet in the first episode. And you have to kind of remember Hard Knocks is kind of taped a couple of days before they air it. So it's not like this is done months ago. This was done like last week.
It's not like Last Chance.
Yeah. So we'll kind of see this play out as it's happening during training camp. And who's to say by the end of training camp that I'm not going to sit here and say Antonio Brown's going to get cut or something like that or walk away. I think it's just more – it's almost like he's posturing to get extra time to allow his feet to heal. That's my theory. I think that's what he's doing. And he just don't want to admit, hey, man, I messed up my feet because I was stupid getting in this chamber and didn't do it the right way. I don't want the Raiders to find me or take money away from me from doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to protest this way and – hide behind it until My feet are fine. The problem is, I just saw your feet, bro, and they don't look good at all. I don't think they're going to be fine anytime soon.
So, Dez, to answer your question, over here on The Spun, according to The Spun online, they're saying that if Antonio Brown does not dress for the Raiders, he will only actually receive $1 million in his contract signing bonus is what he would actually receive. And the $30 million supposedly that's guaranteed, he will lose the entire $30 million on his contract if he never plays for Oakland. Mm. So,
but, hey, he said he was all right.
Yeah, he did.
He said he was just fine.
Yeah, but I mean, you can be just fine. I don't care who you are. But I'm not giving up $30 million. No. I don't care how much money I got.
I'm going to be scheming, at conniving.
I'll be in uniform standing on the sideline. Like, right. Y'all know, hey, I can't go, but I'm dressed.
I'll play a half a quarter. I'll be a decoy all day long.
Set a pick out there.
He was running routes. He was running routes in the Hard Knocks episode.
He looked good.
He looked good.
Put me on a half helmet. You can give me a Harley Davidson helmet, and I'll be out there playing.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, one of them old school leather helmets.
I didn't see Hard Knocks, but did his kids really say they were missing Big Ben?
Yes.
Oh man.
They were actually at Raider training camp walking around, and they were like, he was like, yeah, this is training camp this year, blah, blah, blah. And his kids were like, so where's Big Ben? And he's like, I don't play for the Steelers anymore. I play for the Raiders. That's my quarterback over there, Derek Carr. And they just kind of look, don't say nothing. Oh. They just stare at him.
Wow.
Derek Carr, he looked like he was playing or throwing dimes during that episode of Hard Knocks. I'm not a big Derek Carr fan. I feel like that one year where before he broke his leg,
he was an MVP candidate. Yeah.
We haven't seen that since. Now, granted, everything around him is disintegrated. He didn't really have a whole lot
of
anything to play with.
The 10-year plan.
But I wanted to start off with Antonio Brown because that's like the hot story that's going on right now. But I do want to get in some college football because we have not touched on it yet since we've been back from summer break. And if we're going to talk college football, we'll get into ACC Big Four probably starting next week and get through Wake Forest and Carolina and Duke and NC State. But if you're going to talk college football in 2019, you got to start at the top. And at the top is Clemson and Alabama. It's the premier rivalry. They've met each other four times in the past 4 years. Clemson beat the bricks off Alabama the last time they saw him in the national championship game. I pose this to the panel. Is there any team out there that can even challenge these two teams this year?
I think Georgia, UGA, they're kind of built similar to Alabama. Kirby Smart studied under Saban for a long time. Jake Fromm is a legitimate Heisman contender, I believe, mm-hmm, at this mm-hmm. stage. Coming into year three, like me and Aaron were talking before, he didn't really have a breakout year after that freshman year that was really impressive.
Right.
So I think year three, he really has to take that big stride and really put his name in with the Trevor Lawrences and the Tuas of the world. I think they're going to return a strong offense. The defense under Kirby Smart has been good. So I'm expecting them, possibly Oklahoma. You got Jalen Hurts there now. Yeah, he knows the Alabama system.
Keep in mind, Lincoln Riley, the past two Heisman Trophy winners have been his starting quarterback.
Do they have a third in them?
That would be great. If Jalen Hurts wins the Heisman this year over Tua, over Trevor Lawrence,
Jake Fromm, Justin Fields,
the kid in Oregon.
Herbert. Yeah. Herbert, yeah, he's really good.
So, I mean, if he can win it like that, Lincoln Riley almost has to go to the NFL. Like at that point, right? Like he can't stay at Oklahoma.
If they're throwing that bag at him.
Because Jalen Hurts wasn't known as a passer, right? Like not like that.
He was a dual threat. He's a
Yeah, I think Jalen was a dual threat.
He's more like Trevor Knight than Kyler.
But not like a Tua. Like Tua's like a pure passer. Like when you see him throw compared to Jalen, you're like, oh, Tua's it.
But
like,
I don't know, Jalen that's the future. Hurts can throw that thing though. I don't want to take
that. But that's what I'm saying with Lincoln Riley.
He won the title with that last one. He won it for
him. I want to see it because with Lincoln Riley, I feel like Jalen can turn into a first round draft pick. Like after the year is over, I mean, they're going to throw the ball.
And he's going to get to sling it a lot.
So, I mean, that's a storyline to watch. Ohio State no longer has Urban Meyer. They're ranked number four in the coaches. Number five in the coaches poll right now.
They got the kid Justin Fields, who's the number one quarterback mm-hmm. last year coming in. Didn't win the starting job from Jake Fromm.
Do you guys think Jim Harbaugh's on the hot seat in Michigan?
Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat?
Yeah.
You know, there are some fans that say, hey, our biggest rivalry is who? The Buckeyes, right? Mm-hmm. So that means that you need to beat the Buckeyes. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what. If I have a coach, I don't care who he is, in college football, and I'm winning 10 games every year, Doggone it, I'll hire a consultant and help you to beat the Buckeyes eventually.
Yeah.
I am not going to get rid of a coach that gets us 10 wins every year.
And wants to be there.
And wants to be there. Yeah. And I mean, he lifted that program when he came there because that program was sliding quick.
Yeah, they're a top 10 perennial team every year since Harbaugh made it there. And he is Michigan. I mean, it feels like he's going to be there Woody Hayes style or Bo Schembechler style, with the same team for a while.
Joe Paterno type.
Right, Now, having said that, it is Jim Harbaugh. So, I mean, say the Bears opportunity opens up or the Colts or something, might just bounce.
I don't know if they don't give him a hard time in Michigan, there's something about, in my opinion, there's something about being at your alma mater. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Once you hit your alma mater and you're there and you're rolling, like I said, if you've won 10 games, the next step is to beat the Buckeyes. When you beat the Buckeyes, the next step is a national championship. Mm-hmm. Once you can do all of that, then I could possibly see him leaving because then there's nothing else to prove when you win that national championship. But I just don't see Jim Harbaugh leaving.
My thing is, though, you got a new coach, new quarterback, a lot of young talent in Ohio State. If you don't beat them this year, when else do you beat them? Yeah, yeah, when is it going
to
happen?
I mean, Urban Meyer lost like 9 games total or something crazy, in 10 years.
Juggernaut.
I'm looking at the coaches poll, and it's actually one of the things that's pretty jarring. Other than Clemson at number one, there are no other ACC teams in here except for Syracuse at 22. Even, I guess, if you want to count Notre Dame, they're at 9. I don't want to count Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's independent when it comes to football.
Yeah, I mean, they play ACC schedule, but they're not officially ACC. Yeah. So, I mean, another question I actually have regards the Golden State-Cleveland theory, and I was talking about this before. I was getting in arguments on Facebook with friends that were saying that they didn't like the idea of Golden State versus Cleveland every single year, and they wanted parity. But then if something like this happens, it seems like in any other sport, I never hear that. Like, no one gets tired of Yankees Red Sox. No one gets tired of Clemson Alabama. Nobody gets tired. Nobody got tired of Lakers versus Celtics in the 80s.
Jokic. We see that all.
We want the best team. So really, I'm asking you guys: would you rather have someone else in the national title game other than Clemson and Alabama, or if they're the two best teams, would you rather see Clemson Alabama Part 5?
If they're the two best, I want to see the two best. Now, if UGA turns out to be a better team this year and they beat Alabama, I'm not going to be disappointed.
That's their hurdle. They got to get past Alabama.
They have to.
But and I don't know if they can.
I don't know. It's tough. Jake Fromm, I think, is going to be the difference. But in my opinion, I want to see the two best.
Yeah, I definitely want to see the two best teams. And I think UGA could challenge Alabama. Like you guys said, Jake Fromm's back. He's doing great. But what people underestimate is UGA's secondary. That defensive backfield that they have is pretty deep, and they have two starting safeties who played really good football last year. And these guys are coming back to anchor that secondary back there. And you're talking about teams that like to pass. I mean, that secondary is going to give some teams some trouble this year, and they could even take a few back to the house. So I could see UGA, giving Alabama some trouble. But like you said, I want to see the two best teams. You know, I'll be honest with you. I want to see two teams go undefeated and end up undefeated.
Yes, I want Alabama, Clemson undefeated. Because number five, that's the rubber match, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because aren't they 2-2 like against each other, something like that? So, yeah. I mean, and last year, Clemson went through the whole year. Alabama had beat them the year before. So, like, they went through that whole year with, like, we want to get back to Alabama. Like, we want to play Alabama. Alabama probably didn't give two thoughts about Clemson the whole year until they saw him in front of them, and it showed.
Got absolutely outclassed.
Just like, and the thing that bothers me the most about the whole thing is that even after that, we all saw the beatdown. You know how it is when you're someplace and like somebody you know gets beat up or something.
Yeah, it's
and
like you Friday gotta, when you're like,
you got to be all like,
don't cry in the car.
Like, we all saw it. We all saw it happen. Don't try to act like it didn't happen. We saw it happen, and all the Alabama players that are back are like, well, I think we're still the better team. Were you? Because it didn't look like it at all during that game.
Is that what you're telling
Not
me?
Not even remotely close. Like, I don't think y'all
want to
see them.
They let them win.
Right.
They wanted them to
want to give them even up the thing.
Trying to build up their confidence. Okay.
336-777-1600 is the number to call. We got Ed from Winston-Salem, one of our regulars, calling in. He wants to talk a little bit about Dabo Swinney. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing good.
Hey, Ed. I don't know if you have a chance to read this article by Art Chansky. He wrote a very interesting and informal article in Tar Heel Times, and he was talking about that Dabo Swinney should have gave Kelly Bryant, you know, a championship ring, and he's refusing to give him a ring. I like you guys' input because he did have, you know, he started there for 2 years, and he started the first four games, you know, of the championship year until Trevor Lawrence took over. But in my opinion, I think he should get that ring. I'd like you guys' input on that, please.
That's a great question. Thanks, Ed. I'll put it like this because I've had a couple of days to think about that. Look at the situation that happened at Alabama the year prior. Jalen Hurts was the starter. Tua comes in and kind of saves the day. Jalen could have just quit right then and there, but he stayed on the team. And then down the road, they ended up needing Jalen Hurts, and he actually – you know, help them.
Won them the game.
Help, it was the SEC championship
to get to the national title game.
They don't win it without him. He deserves a ring. He got a ring. Kelly Bryant quit. Like, he played four games, yeah, but then his job got taken away from him, and he basically quit the team and transferred out. Like, yeah, that's no a different support, thing. Yeah. So, I mean, what is he getting a ring for? He only played four games. He won all four, but hell, I mean – we could probably throw Sawyer behind the Clemson offensive line. He's going to get us at least 300 yards.
To me, I mean,
you know,
it's not
50
even
yards
about
rushing.
It's not even about him playing the four games. I wouldn't. It wouldn't have mattered to me if he played no games.
Right.
But if he would have stuck there on the sideline and helped, you know, cheer those guys on, and he quit on his guys.
Yeah.
So no, for that reason, I'm not with him getting.
I look at it both ways. I mean, yeah, he did quit. You know, but is this kid asking for a ring? That's my thing.
I don't know, actually.
Where's his heart at?
I think somebody asked Dabo.
Is he asking for a ring? If this kid's not asking for a ring, to me, it's dead. Let it ride.
He should be.
If he's asking for a ring, he needs to come into my office and point out the reasons that he deserves a ring, why he needs a ring. And then I want to know, you played four games. Then I want to know, how did you help the team the rest of the season? How did you help us? Because at least if you're there on the team, you can help out, whether it's practicing, whether you know, on the scout team and you're the best scout team a player that you can be.
Helping young Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, but he was not. I agree with you guys. He was not there. But I'm kind of a softy. They're kids. They make decisions. They make crazy decisions.
Definitely.
But if you come to me, and I'm Dabo Swinney, and you come to me and you say, Coach, I do want a ring. You know, maybe I screwed up. I shouldn't have quit, but I want a ring. Hey, I might consider giving you one if I was Dabo Swinney. But I don't see this kid coming to him and saying, I want a ring.
Not me.
I don't see that happening.
Not me. I'm like, get out of here, little fella. You quit. Get out of here. You don't get a ring.
Isn't he at Carolina now?
Nah, he was going to go to Carolina. He went someplace else in the SEC.
Wasn't it like Arkansas?
I think, or not. Mississippi State. I don't know. He went somewhere down there.
Oh,
we'll check that out in the break.
Yeah.
I'm up against it. So let's take a quick break and come right back. Coming up, the Carolina Panthers kicked off their 2019 preseason with a win over the Chicago Bears. Luckily, we have some of the best in the business to break it down for us. Kevin Avery from the Four Man Rush podcast joins us to discuss all things Panthers next.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Listen to the best sports podcasts on the go. Podcasts like the Franchise Players, Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit, A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, and much, much more, now available in all major podcast formats, including SoundCloud, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and much more. Simply search the title of the podcast you're looking for, download it, and enjoy exclusively from SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. We've finally made the two official announcements over the past week. Live with Brandon Blakeney's now on the platform, and I believe the audio versions of that will be coming soon.
Check that out.
And huge news, The Nest with Rod Funderburk, our season-long look into the East Forsyth football program and head coach Todd Willard, that is going to be an exclusive podcast that's going to be available starting the week of August 23rd. A lot of sponsors attached to that. East Coast Wings here in Kernersville, Kevin Bug State and State Farm Insurance, the Collegiate Store, Haviline over on Highway 66. There's a number of them. So we'll give you some more information about that. That'll also be available on all podcast platforms, including SportsCarolinaMonthly.com and SportsHubTriad.com. You'll be able to download it there exclusively as a weekly podcast. Interviews with coaches, staff, players, and we'll follow East Forsyth over the course of the season, and we'll be with them throughout the season too. for their football schedule as well. So we got a lot of stuff planned for football going forward here in the fall at the Sports Hub. Real exciting time. So definitely keep us on your dial as we go forward into the fall of 2019. The Carolina Panthers started the 2019 preseason with a game versus the Chicago Bears Thursday night. They won, I believe, 23-17 was the final. We welcome from the four-man rush, Kevin Avery, to the show. Kev, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Hey, alive and healthy.
What's up, Kevin? How you doing, brother?
Doing good. You know, living this good life, you know. If you think you're having a bad day, miss one.
Hey. No, that's like right. That. If you miss one, you might miss a whole bunch.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
So, Kevin, man, the first thing I wanted to ask you, because this has been on the minds of a lot of Panther fans this week, and it's the potential for Curtis Samuel to have a breakout year this year. He seems to be the talk of the camp so far. I don't believe he played Thursday night. A lot of first stringers missed time for the opening game, which I have zero problem with. I don't mind if they sit Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly the entire preseason, you know, and put Luke in bubble wrap until week one and let him get out there and go. But in terms of Curtis Samuel, you've actually been at training camp for a couple of weeks, and you know the ins and outs of this squad. What can you say about Curtis Samuel and his improvement from year one and year two going into this year, year three?
All right, as far as my assessment of Curtis Samuel, it's been something to really enjoy looking at firsthand. You know, when he first got here in 2017, you know, I don't know if some of y'all remember, he was kind of ridiculed a little bit because he got dropped off by his mom at training camp.
I forgot about that.
People was like, oh, and look up there, you know, kind of had that, you know, thing about him. And, you know, but he's really, truly, just from a training camp aspect, really have shown that he's ready to show what he's capable of. You know, when you think about it, in the NFL, typically the third year is really when a player really makes his mark. You know, first year rookie season, second year he learns how to adjust, third year he applies what he's learned. And I think Curtis Samuel is definitely in position to really make his impact, not only on the team, but in the NFL. So I really feel like that by the end of the 2019 season and heading to the playoffs, I think that Curtis Samuel would be a name that would be on a lot of people's mouths outside of Panthers Nation.
One of the things that I noticed watching, because I do watch preseason football, but I don't watch the whole game until probably around week three, and that's when the starters play the full first half, and then a lot of times into the third quarter as well. And then that fourth quarter, you're kind of seeing second string guys and third string guys kind of fighting to make the bottom of the 53. But this first game one, I actually watched the whole first quarter into halftime. And one of the things I was wanting to look at was the Panther defense, because for me, you know, being a 25-year plus fan, we haven't seen a 3-4 being used religiously in Carolina really since the days of Sam Mills, Kevin Green, Lamar Lathan. Yeah, like, I mean, those defenses were terrorizing. Watching, you couldn't see them with the parts that we have, like adding Gerald McCoy and Bruce Irvin and those boys. They weren't playing on Thursday night, but you could see the scheme of what they were doing. And other than a couple times where Vernon Butler just got washed up out of there and opened up big holes for the Bears to run through, I liked what they were doing with the 3-4. What have you seen in camp with the 3-4 using the cogs that we'll actually have in there, like Shaq Thompson and Luke Kuechly? And
Burns looked great
the other night. Burns he looked really good in it. So what are your takes on the defense so far as we get into week two of the preseason, Kevin? Do you think the 3-4 is going to be a significant difference from what Coach Rivera's been running in the past?
Yeah, well, you guys hit it right on the head about how long it's been since, you know, we've, you know, ran a lot of 3-4. We're talking about back in the days where it's known as Ericsson Stadium. You know, that's how far back it was.
Yeah. Old school.
When it became Bank of America Stadium, you know, the original name. But, yeah, definitely not since the Dom Capers days have we seen this much 3-4 usage be done in practice and obviously the first preseason game. But, you know, from what I like about what I saw about the 3-4 was I saw the versatility. One of the things that we do here, what we're going to be doing at four-man rush, we're going to be tracking the different looks of the three-four personnel packages. You know, in the philosophy, you know, the base is three down linemen, four linebackers. The nickel package is three linemen, three linebackers, five defensive backs. The dime package in a 3-4 philosophy is three down linemen, two linebackers, six DBs. So these are the type of aspects of the game that, you know, we're tracking and monitoring as we, you know, rewatch this game, as we give our own outtake on it. But strictly from training camp point of view and what I've seen so far, it's the fact that the players that we have a lot of position flexibility. Watching the game Thursday night, I was able to notice that we were using different players at different positions. For example, Brian Cox, who got to start with him, Butler, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Obata. You know, those were the three down linemen in the 30 front sets that we were using. And it was just fun to watch how those guys were able to, you know, move around and rotate. For example, Brian Burns' first set, since you were talking about Burns, a lot of people don't pay attention that it was the penetration by Brian Cox that allowed Brian Burns to get that set. He completely blew up that left side between the left guard and left tackle, with just pushing him all the way back into the quarterback, which forced him to step up right into the arms of Brian Burns. So even though it doesn't show up as a stat for Brian Cox Jr. on that play, but clearly when you go back and just, you know, study football like we do on the levels we do, you see that these are impact plays that don't get the stats, but that's the reason why things were successful. But overall, man, I was really impressed from what I saw so far. Far as the linebacker play goes, I mean, speed, man. I mean, it's like these guys just decided to, you know, do track lessons over in the off season. I mean, the starting place of Luke Kuechly and Chet Thompson were second-year linebackers, Jermaine Carter Jr., who was from Maryland, and Andre Smith out of North Carolina, go Heels.
Yep.
But, you know, them guys, they were definitely, you know, they was definitely flying around the ball. I mean, you saw Andre Smith, like, obliterate the running back when he thought he had a little cutback, and he just, you know, tracked him down with, like, no problem.
It did seem like they were playing freer, you know, like last year there was some times where it felt like they were out of place, or they got the call late or something like that from upstairs. And Thursday night, it felt like, even though, like, again, it was second, third, fourth string guys out there, it felt like they were able to just use their abilities and run to the ball.
Flying around.
Yeah. So I haven't seen them flock to the ball like that in a while. Mm-hmm. We're on the phone with Kevin Avery from the 4-man rush, talking a little Carolina Panther talk. And I think Brandon had a question for you, Kev.
Oh yeah. Kev. Hey, Brandon Blakeney here, my man. Just wanted to ask
What's up, Brandon?
You know, you can't help. We're going to switch to the other side of the ball. You couldn't help but notice watching that game. We had a breakout star in the backfield, and he has a famous last name, Mr. Holyfield, Elijah Holyfield, though, we're talking about. Caught the touchdown, looked good running the ball. Do you think he has a legitimate chance to make this team, and has there been buzz around him in camp?
As far as Elijah Holyfield, I'm going to just give you the assessments that I've seen. Now, yes, he did have the two touchdowns, one receiving, one running, Thursday night against the Bears. He had an earlier mistake where he had a fumble.
Yeah.
He hadn't fumbled since his sophomore year at Georgia. And you could tell that even when he was at post-game, he was more disheartened about the fumble than he was excited about the two touchdowns that he scored. So I like the fact that he's more focused on bettering himself than patting himself on the back. So as an undrafted guy, definitely like that aspect. As far as how he's been doing in camp, it wasn't until post-FanFest, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday practice leading up to the game in Chicago, he started to make more plays when the team was doing team drills. I noticed a couple times he even hit the outside, and Luke Kuechly and Shaq Thompson had to get on their horse, you know what I'm saying, to track him down. I was like, whoa, but they say this guy doesn't have speed. You know, everybody gets – people got to understand 40-yard time and football speed are two totally different things.
Totally. Absolutely.
Things. You know.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so facts. That was something that I noticed. But, yeah, well, Holyfield, he definitely had a nice debut, but you got some mommy, you know, branching off that. The guy that I really should be talking about as far as running back breakout was Reggie Bonifant. You know, when I compare – when here the 4-man rush, when we broke down the touches – Holyfield had 11 touches of the ball, 39 yards, two touchdowns. Obviously, two touchdowns are going to get all the praise. But Reggie Bonifant had 11 touches for about 53 yards, if I'm not mistaken. He was 4-for-4 on pass, catching the ball for 30 yards. And he had four carries for 29 yards running the ball. So, I mean, you know, that's someone that deserves some talk as well as far as running back production. I know touchdowns get the hype, but when you go back and watch it all over again, look for who's consistently producing, who's moving the chains, and I think both of the running backs should get praise.
Hey, Kevin, this is Rod Funderburg. Hope all is well with you, big guy.
Always good to hear from you, Big Rob. You doing good today?
Oh, man, everything is lovely. Can't complain at all. I won't grumble. Man, I had, you know, when it comes to football, I'm one of those guys. I always root for the underdog. And, of course, I know everyone can't make the team. You know, everyone's trying to make that 53-man roster. But there is one guy who kind of stood out for me. And the reason that he stood out, and I don't know if he's going to be able to make the team, I want your opinion on it. And one of the aspects, I even heard Aaron Rodgers talk about an aspect of the game that he'd like to see taken out is special teams. But there's a gentleman by the name of Terry Godwin. He seemed to perform very well on special teams. And I think he was either a 6th or 7th round draft pick. What are his odds of making the team? Like I said, man, I'm always cheering for the underdog, especially those guys who get picked up in the late rounds and you think that they may not have an opportunity to make it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Terry Godwin is our 7th round pick out of the University of Georgia, so he was actually the last pick in the 2019 draft. You know what? I'm a fan of his, personally, just because the fact that, you know, even at Georgia, they had so much stars in front of him that a lot of his work really wasn't, you know, paid attention to. But again, if you go back and watch the film, this guy was making plays silently. He's kind of like what you call a silent, you know, a silent killer per se. You know, he won't wow you because everybody's focused on the stars, but he's the one that makes the impact. But I mean, that 56-yard punt return, man, that's
what gave him a lead after halftime.
Right. Yeah, and it was just the fact that, you know, on that return, I mean, it was just his ability to just so smoothly change direction. It was like watching a nice glass of vodka being poured, watching him run that punt return back. I mean, it was just something really just so smooth and effortlessly how he just knew how to hit the right gears and everything. Yeah,
but
Terry Godwin, he's someone that not only in the return game, but I think of all the guys that's fighting for the last couple of wide receivers positions, from what I'm seeing in camp, he's also, you know, a more of a polished route runner as well. He's typically known as a slot guy, but I really, you know, half his touches in college were returned for touchdowns. So he's definitely someone that's got playmaker written on him when utilized properly. He's definitely someone that you can root for.
How many wide receivers do you think they're going to keep? Like when we get to the final 53-man roster, how many? I mean, I think normally they keep, what, like 5 or 6? How many do you think they're going to be able to keep? Because it sounds like we got some gems at the bottom of that depth chart.
I mean, this is going to be tough, you know, but since Martin Herney's been general manager in 2002, every one of his 53-man rosters has always kept 6 wide receivers. That's something that I see continuing. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, the locks are obviously DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Jarius Wright, which was mentioned earlier this week as got the number 3 position on lock. Then you look at a guy like Chris Hogan from New England. I mean, Mr. 7-11, he got that nickname because they say he always manages to get open. And then you look at a guy like, you know, Torrey Smith, one of my personal favorite, but, you know, in Panthers land, we always have the debates about that.
Seems like he's more of like a locker room presence at this point, because I don't know with the talent you already just laid out, I don't know if Torrey's going to get on the field except for injury, but it seems like the Panthers want to keep him around because he took a pay cut in the offseason when they could have just cut him, but they chose to, you know, give him the pay cut, and he still remained on the team, and I took that to mean they value his leadership in that wide receiver room more than they value him being available on game day. Is that a wild assessment, or is that kind of where you think why Torrey's still on the team?
Honestly, I think it's half true. They do value him as a locker room presence. You know, you remember, you know, when we was at Atlanta and that Kaiser safety guy hit Cam on that slide, it was Torrey Smith who went up and jaw-jacked him and got the, you know, offsetting penalty, you know, week 2. So he's definitely someone that's got a strong locker room presence and chemistry, but you got to realize Torrey Smith was underutilized last year, you know, because of Cam's ineffectiveness. I put up a stat that showed that on pass plays of 15 yards or more, Torrey Smith was top 10 in yards per separation on over 65% of his route. So, you know, now with a healthier Cam, he's someone that, you know, can, you know, still be a deep threat asset, you know. And, you know, with Curtis Samuel, even though he's looking good, you know, he's yet to play a full 16 games, so you never know who might have to step up. You know, you got to have guys ready to step in. You don't want to lose a certain aspect of a guy. So I think there's still room for Torrey Smith in this offense. You know, maybe only two or three targets a game, but those would be at key moments, you know, for him. But as far as that last spot goes, I mean, talking about Godwin, Aldrick Robertson, who's a top-end guy. I hate that Kyle Allen missed him early in the first quarter against that game against the Bears because he had him for a touchdown when he overshot him.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it was just it's some playmakers at that them last couple of spots on the wide receiver depth chart. It's going to be some tough cuts, but no matter who we end up with, I'm confident that they're going to contribute. Keep in mind, they also got to help on special teams, too, if you're going to be five or six on the wide receiver depth chart.
That is true.
Yep, that's right.
I gotta let you go, Kev. I'm going to give you a chance to let people know where they can go and get all this goodness from the four-man rush. Kevin Avery from the four-man rush joining us. And I was going to ask you about the rest of the NFC South. We're going to save that till right around week one of the NFL season, get your opinion on the Saints and the Bucks and the Falcons and all that good stuff. But tell the fine folks where they can get to Four Man Rush, what you guys are about. And you guys just opened up a new website, I believe like a week or two ago. So let the public know how they can get to all this game analysis and articles and everything else that's Panther related.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, definitely with the Four Man Rush, you can go to our website, which was released a couple of weeks ago. So it's just simply BTHE, the number 4. Man, M-A-N, Rush, R-U-S-H.com. On our website, you'll have access to all of our social media accounts, all of our different blogs. So you can get my Rush reviews, which are my daily observations of training camp. You can get Prime Cuts with Norris, which is, you know, our very good blog writer. We also have Logical with Larry. He's one of our guys that specializes in, you know, doing previews and trench warfare. So definitely on the website, you can get access to all of that information as well. So that's the4manrush.com. Definitely a place to get this exclusive, detailed Panther content. And on the last note, all three of the NFC South teams, I know it's preseason, but they all took a L. So, hey, I like that.
Hey, leading the division. Like that, too. Hey, Kev, man, we appreciate you, man. We'll definitely have you back on later on this preseason to talk some more Panthers. Appreciate you, man. Website looks fantastic. I love what you guys are doing, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all take care, fellas.
Yes, sir. You do the same, Kevin.
It's Kevin Avery from the Four Man Rush. Coming up, Mack Brown starts a new era at Carolina. Roy Williams is out here recruiting. We've got Brant Wilkerson new from Maven, Carolina, next on the Rundown Hot Seat to discuss a new way for Tar Heel fans to get daily sports news for their Tar Heel squads. Next on the Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
It's going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Enjoy a fun night out at the ballpark with the Winston-Salem Dash. Right now, the last Dash homestand special that we have at Sports Carolina Monthly for the season is going on right now. Today and tomorrow, August 10th and the 11th, go to sportscarolinamonthly.com. Click at the top at ticket deals. You can get premium home plate seats for the Dash today and tomorrow for only $7. These are a $16 value. You have to go to sportscarolinamonthly.com to buy these. The Dash opened up a homestand last night in Winston-Salem. They're there again today. They're there again tomorrow. Just go to sportscarolinamonthly.com, copy your tickets, take them to the ticket booth, and enjoy Winston-Salem Dash action. This is the last special we have for the rest of the year, so definitely go and enjoy that with the family today. It is time for the Rundown Hot Seat. Today, we have Carolina Tar Heels beat writer Brant Wilkerson new from maven.com.
Some like it hot. Some like it hot.
You're listening to The Rundown.
Hot.
Seat.
Hot.
Seat.
Hot seat.
With Desmond Johnson.
Please welcome to The Rundown Hot Seat, friend of the station, Brant Wilkerson new. What's going on, Brant? What's up, man?
Not too much. Just trying to get a website off the ground from scratch. You know,
yeah.
No big deal.
So I saw the news earlier this week, and when I saw it, I was like, okay, let me get Brant on the show so he can talk about this. Because you know that I'm a Tar Heel fan at heart. Rod is not only a Tar Heel fan, he's alumni. Sawyer's a Tar Heel fan. And from my understanding, this is a brand new site that's going to be giving us Carolina sports news and things that we wouldn't be able to get from any other source. So to start off here on the Rundown Hot Seat for Saturday, what exactly is Maven? Tell us what Maven is.
Interesting. So, well, the first time I heard of it was about 3 weeks ago. I was sitting down in Charlotte at ACC kickoff, and luckily a friend had kind of passed my name over to them. I wasn't looking for a new job. I love my job at the News and Record. It's been great. But I started hearing about this and got a little interested, and it went really fast. But basically, Maven is a company that was started by a bunch of guys who had experience in digital publishing from like Rivals and Scout, 24/7 Sports, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then some others from outside like Yahoo and all that. So they've built this really neat platform where you can publish stories, videos, and all kinds of things, and it's kind of a big catch-all. You just go to the site and you type in what you're interested in, and it sends you to that site. So it's a gigantic network, but the really exciting thing is that they acquired the rights to Sports Illustrated back in June, and they've been raising a ton of money, and they bought Jim Cramer's The Street Financial News recently. So
oh, wow.
The company is exploding, and what's really exciting is the Sports Illustrated piece, because, I mean, what person wouldn't want to have their name associated with Sports Illustrated? So we're going to be instituting kind of the Sports Illustrated branding and some different things that you can get from us with Sports Illustrated here in the near future. So with that and the chance to cover one team, I had been covering three, which was a heck of a lot of fun, but it's also great to kind of dig into one place and build relationships and be an expert on one team. So it's really cool. It's off to a great start, and I love it so far.
Nice. So, I mean, you talked about the fact that you were with the Greensboro News and Record after a successful 3-year stint there. How hard was it to decide to leave something like that, that, you know, year three, I'd imagine you were in a bit of a comfort zone in terms of knowing where you're going, who you're covering, like what you're doing, your day-to-day operation, to take that and decide to go off and do this new venture, which sounds super exciting. Talk to us a little bit about that decision, and how hard was it for you to have to decide to leave the News and Record and start on something new?
Yeah, well, that's definitely the hardest part, was leaving behind my teammates at the News and Record, because I absolutely love those guys. I mean, the fact that I could sit next to Ed Hardin in Cameron Indoor Stadium, or you know, at the Team Dome or the ACC tournament. So, you know, leaving that behind sucked. I worked with I love those guys, Jeff Mills, Eddie Wooten, our editor there, and Joe, the sports editor, Spencer. And I love serving the community. I love the aspect of, hey, we're in this community. Like when something happened in Greensboro, I wasn't a sports writer. I was just a journalist out there covering the story. So I love that part of it. And that was tough. But really, I'm at that point in my life where I'm 33. I don't have kids yet, thankfully. I'm not married, so.
Better knock on wood, man.
if I make a big mistake, if I take a big chance, it's not going to affect anyone other than myself and maybe my loving girlfriend who who has been more than enough patient with me. So, yeah, it was just kind of a big shot. You know, these startup things, it's always a risk. You never know if it's going to make it, but I do know that I think I do all the right things and I have a pretty good handle, so. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing and tell all the stories the way I've been telling them and study film and make GIFs of big plays and write about all that. So I think people love that stuff. So I'm just going to add more to it as far as, like, you know, the day-to-day stuff, practice videos and all that stuff.
On the line with Brant Wilkerson New from MavenSports.com. Well, that's actually MavenSports.io. He's the one that's going to be handling all things UNC for this burgeoning network here. Speaking of Carolina, you know, we got football right around the corner. Brant, what is your honest expectations regarding UNC football this year? I know Mac Brown's brought a level of excitement with his return and a pretty good first recruiting class by all accounts, but we have to keep in mind that this is a team that won all of two games last year, and one of those wins was against a 1AA Western Carolina squad. What are your expectations for this team? What do you think the ceiling will be? And do Carolina fans have a reason to be excited going forward with the second era of Mac Brown?
Yeah. There's a ton of reason to be excited moving forward because, you know, Mac Brown, he's obviously a Hall of Fame coach. He's proved it at Carolina. He's proved it at Texas. He's already out there getting just fantastic recruiting classes built. NC State had really taken over the state, and they were just cleaning up on the top 25 recruits in the state, and Carolina has kind of shifted that a little bit more toward their direction recently. State's still right there. So the problem with Carolina is they've got some good high-end talent on the team. They don't have a whole lot of depth right now. So that's that's where you're going to see Carolina really come along in the next few years. Is, you know, there's a lot of teams with high-end number ones. Like, you see a lot of group of five teams, your Appalachian States and UCFs and stuff like that. They have really good players in the number one spot. But the problem that they have keeping up is when they take on a big-time program, the other teams have those three- and four-star recruits filling in their second string. So that's where Carolina's got to develop the most. They've got a tough schedule this year. They've got Clemson. They've got South Carolina to start off the year. They've got Miami coming in early on, so who knows. It could be a little bit of a bumpy start, but what I think is going to happen, I think you're going to really see Carolina get better over the course of this year as those guys get comfortable and as they build their depth up a little bit. And really, you know, I think this is a 5-7 win team, 7 being the best case, probably in the 5-6 range. So bowl eligibility is definitely within reach. But there's also, you know, kind of a worst-case scenario where they don't get a whole lot from their quarterbacks where they win maybe 3 games. So, you know, I think there's a chance they could be a bowl team this year, but I don't think that people are terribly worried about this season in the grand scheme because things are on the right track.
On the line with Brant Wilkerson, new from Maven Sports, and I think Rod, UNC alumni, has a question for you.
Hey, Brant, how you doing, buddy?
Awesome. How are you?
Doing great, man. I have a question. I heard you talking about the players that Matt Brown has recruited and brought in, and seems like he has some really good players, but possibly not a lot of depth. Looking at the other side, what do you think of the assistant coaches? Who does Matt Brown have on his staff? And with that staff, do you think that staff will really be able to develop the players needed to come into, you know, maybe an early ACC championship or even just win their division in the ACC in the next couple years? Do we have a good staff down there right now? Does he have a good staff?
Yeah, well, what I think is the one really good thing that Carolina has going for it is that they're in the Coastal Division. So who knows what's going to happen in the Coastal year to year. You know, you got to think Miami is going to get a little bit better, but you also would have thought that Virginia Tech would be better than they are right now. So the Coastal is an advantage for Carolina. By all accounts from the players, and of course they're not going to say that their assistants suck or anything, but Jay Bateman proved that he could build a defense at Army, and he did it with, you know, Army is not getting high-end talent up there. So right. He built a really good 3-4 system that relies a lot on speed, and Carolina certainly has that. They've talked a lot about how Bateman has been able to relate what he's coaching to them a little bit better than they've had in the past, even though it's a more complex system that mixes coverages more and disguises things. So that's great. One of the guys that really caught my attention out there the other day was Lonnie Galloway, who's been a veteran receivers coach all over the country and is from up in Reidsville. He was just a super intense guy, is all business on the field, but his players absolutely love him so far. They were talking about, you know, he gets after us on the field, but he loves us off the field. So I think they've built a real good bond there already, and they've got a ton of really speedy, kind of undersized receivers at this point. They're looking for a big physical target downfield. And then Phil Longo is the guy who's the architect of that offense, and he had a lot of success at Ole Miss, and he runs a super fast system, and players have kind of taken to the details of that system because he's signaling in the play is one time, so if they miss it, they're off the field. They're not going to be able to perform. So I think they really caught their attention. And, you know, as much as Mac Brown's a great coach with a Hall of Fame experience, he's built a really good staff there too.
On the line with Brant Wilkerson, new from Maven Sports. And got to let you go, Brant, but I wanted to give you a chance to let the public know how to get to your site, how to get to this information. It looks like it's Carolina football and basketball primarily you're going to be reporting on, so we'll definitely lean on you throughout the season to come back on the rundown. But tell everybody how to get to the information that you're laying out here and how to get to this stuff daily.
Sure. It's maven.io/UNC. That's likely going to change here in the future when we get our Sports Illustrated stuff up and running. But for now, it's mavensports.io/UNC. And you can catch me on Twitter at Brant Heels Maven. And I've also got a Facebook page, just Heels Maven, where I'm posting every single story. And I'm actually about to head over to Keenan right now for the first scrimmage. So I'll have a ton of information and video and all that good stuff up there later today.
Sweet, man. Well, hey, man, congratulations. When I saw this, I was just really happy for you as a friend. New venture, I know how that can go. If you ever need any help or anything like that, just let me know. And we'll be talking to you again really, really soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Brant. So that's Brant Wilkerson, new from Maven Sports, a new venture here that that'll be. I kind of liked what he was talking about, the way it's going to be backed by basically the same folks that built Rivals. And,
yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Like a recruitment site.
Yeah.
Never have too much news.
And I'm flipping through the site right now, and I mean, it's stuff that you can't really get directly from like a newspaper or a big publication like a Sports Illustrated specifically.
No, and that's where these sites that specialize in stuff like this flourish, mm-hmm. with the 24/7 sports and stuff like that.
Real quick, because I didn't give my man a chance to do this last week because he was busy running the boards and everything else. We have a segment each week called 1 Minute with Aaron. And I wanted to make sure we did this week because I go back and forth on this whole Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns hype. 1 week I'm all like, oh, man, they're going 11-5. They're going to do it. The Browns look nasty on paper. Then the next week I'm like, yeah, but it's still Cleveland. So I'm not sure how this is going to play out one way or the other.
I had the same debate.
I mean, it's a factual debate. They look great, but it's still Cleveland.
Are they going to Cleveland?
Is Cleveland going to Cleveland? So really the question for 1 minute with Aaron today, Aaron, my man, are you buying the Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns hype this season? And how far do you think they can go?
Well, I tell you what, the Browns are going to be the Browns, baby. You know what I mean?
They got
all these flashy toys, all these gimmicks. You got Odell Beckham running around. He's got regular brown hair now, whoopty-doo. You know what I mean?
The blonde.
Oh, no.
Talk your talk, Aaron.
Who's going to block for Baker Mayfield on the offensive line?
They got some people.
They got some people. Exactly. You need some studs up front. You know what I mean? Dudes. So we'll see what happens with that. They lost Duke Johnson. They're still waiting on Kareem Hunt to come back from suspension. I think the Browns can make some noise in the regular season. But we all know what time it is when they get to the playoffs. They get to the playoffs, they're going to run into Project Pat and the Chiefs, and then they're going home.
So a playoff appearance is
you
that's
said
possible?
They're
going to
make the playoffs.
That's possible.
A playoff burst is possible. I don't know what the Ravens are going to look like. They lost a lot on defense. Who knows what Lamar Jackson is going to look like? Suggs is gone. C.J. Mosley is gone. Who knows? The Steelers, I think, are going to be good still. I think the Browns might be good enough to grab a wild card spot and go home.
So they'd be a wild card. They won't win the division. Is that what you're saying, Aaron?
No, I don't have a win.
So you pick like maybe the Steelers. So you're still saying the Steelers or the Ravens over the Browns?
No, I still take the Steelers. I think the Browns are coming in a close second to the Steelers.
Huh. All right.
I don't trust the Ravens this year. They lost a lot.
Man, Lamar Jackson, from my understanding, didn't look very good a couple nights ago in his debut.
They said they're going to have him running the ball more this year.
Apparently. It's one thing to have him running the ball when you got Joe Flacco sitting on the bench in case somebody, you know, knocks him out. Joe go on in there and finish this game up. They don't have Joe anymore. It's just Lamar. So Lamar, you can't run Lamar Jackson 16 times a game as a quarterback.
He's too small.
Even Cam wasn't doing that.
They're saying they're trying to break Cam's carry record possibly.
Good luck with that.
They're going to break Lamar Jackson in the process.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Baltimore. If they think they're going to be able to do it. In the AFC North? Nah, man. I can't see that.
Yeah, that's a bone-crushing division there, man.
He's going to die. He's going to die on the field. Don't do that to Lamar Jackson. I like Lamar Jackson. Man, so I'm still on the whole. I just went to Cleveland 2 weeks ago, and Cleveland in the summertime is unique all in itself. And that was when we had that heat wave going on.
Oh yeah.
So every person I came across when I was up there was like, man, why'd you bring the heat from where you came from up here? Normally it didn't like this. It felt like 105 sitting outside
in
Cleveland.
Crazy.
It's like you were sitting on a wet sponge that was just filled with hot water and you couldn't escape it. And then as soon as I left, the temperature went down to like 82 or something for like the rest of the week.
Wow. How it go.
So, but I mean, they are all very excited, really buzzing about the Browns. They don't normally get a chance to talk about the Browns or be proud of the Browns. And like, I mean, they're dominating headlines. I mean, it feels like they're talking about them as much as the Cowboys.
They got Browns, a lot of stars.
The Browns may not be too bad.
On paper, they
opened the season with the Titans.
Winnable.
They could potentially win.
We're going to have that game here on the Sports Hub, matter of fact.
Then they play the Jets after that.
Sam Darnold, Le'Veon Bell.
I mean, that's
winnable game.
Now, the Rams is winnable, and the only reason the Rams is winnable is because the Rams have to travel here.
They have to travel across country. Yeah.
Then they play the Ravens. That one's going to be tough. You know. Then after that, they got the 49ers.
Very winnable.
That's
winnable.
That's another one of those teams that we got
to find. Then the Seahawks travel to the Browns, Cleveland. You know, then they've got the Patriots. That's a loss.
Well,
know
hell, Seahawks just don't reading play off what you said, I've got them at like 7-2 yeah. or something like that.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
The Seahawks then they have don't the play until November. Yeah.
Then they have the Broncos.
Broncos aren't all
that's
that.
A winnable game. Nah,
they're playing flat. They're
then schedule's they play good. The Bills.
Very
it's a winnable game.
<It's>
like, <huh. laughs> then they play the Dolphins.
Very winnable.
God, then the like, Steelers.
They're going to be like 12-2
I'm
at that
telling
point.
You, the Browns, I mean, man, they got a good team. A, they spent some money.
Then they play the Bengals, then the Cardinals.
Cardinals are going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyler Murray's going to be there.
Kyler Murray's going to be better than people think he's going to be. Like, they're going to be interesting.
David Johnson.
I mean, so
may
I think they could definitely make the playoffs with that schedule.
I think they should. I think they should. I mean, as much money as they spend in free agency.
You know what? Hold on to that thought because in our NFL predictions today, we're actually doing AFC North and NFC North. So we're going to come right back to this. But coming up, Bowman Gray News, there's only two Saturdays left in the season. We take a quick look at the leaderboard heading into the races tonight. And the voice of Bowman Gray, Randy Pettit, will check in with our new segment. Well, make sure they did the rundown hot seat already, so he'll just be here. So we're going to have Randy on talking about Bowman Gray tonight. And the newest edition of the Triad Racing podcast, he actually had on John Boy and Bobo Brown, who have been in the news recently the past 2 weeks due to their rivalry with the Myers brothers. We get their take, an exclusive take from them, from Randy, and more when we come back next on the Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Check out the Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit each week on the Sports Carolina Monthly Podcast Network. Exclusive interviews with top racers from the past, present, and future. Current episodes now available via Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, and much more. Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit. Now available for streaming or download for listening on the go. The newest episode has the Brown brothers, Jonathan and Joseph Brown. And right now, we need to update the Bowman Gray scoring going into tonight. Now, this is something we do every single week here on the Sports Hub during the Bowman Gray season where I tell folks, hey, there's Bowman Gray racing tonight, and then I look over at the window to look at the weather because it feels like every time I do this, it ends up a storm or something coming through, and then they don't get a chance to race. So hopefully I'm not jinxing this every Saturday morning by giving you guys the results and the point standings. But as we do every week, the results from last week, Modified Burt Myers won, Sportsman Amber Lynn won a Sportsman race there. Sportsman, the second race, Dylan Ward. Street Stock was Jacob Creed. And the two Stadium Stock races was Brandon Brendel and Billy Cameron Jr. being victorious last week. Going into the point standings, going into the races tonight, August the 10th, in the Modified Series, Burt Myers has taken a lead, 519. Tim Brown is right behind him at 507. And the next two races are probably going to decide that. Jonathan Brown is in fourth at 453. Going into the next series, which is Sportsman, Justin Taylor has a pretty comfortable lead, 574 over Tommy Neal at 528. There's some notable names in there. See if they can make a move up over the next week or two. In Street Stock, Jeremy Warren is your leader at 572, but he only has a 4-point lead over Jacob Creed at 568. Billy Gregg is in third at 552. And in Stadium Stock, Chuck Wall has a 4-point lead over AJ Sanders, 528 to 524. So there's a lot of tight races across the different series at Bowman Gray. And right now we do have voice of the Bowman Gray track and Ace Speedway in Burlington, Randy Pettit, on the line. Randy, what's going on, man? How are you enjoying this Saturday?
Good morning, Triad. We are out and about. I'm actually over at Roosters by Haynes Mall, the sponsor of our Triad Racing podcast. We've been busy this morning, man. The weather is great. You didn't jinx this, man. It's going to be beautiful tonight at the Madhouse. And
nice.
Desmond, there's a lot of buzz in the air. A guy that's going to be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame this year, a 2020 Hall of Fame inductee, the 2000 Cup Series champion. He was a 1991 Xfinity Series champion. Bobby Labonte, who lives over more or less in High Point, is going to make his first Bowman Gray Stadium start tonight and scheduled to drive a number 36 modified car. That car is kind of been a start and park car as they've been working the bugs out of it. And Bobby's actually been over there in practice at least twice this season already. And that's going to be another little added bonus to the fans that come out to the Madhouse tonight.
All right.
Tell me a little bit, because we recorded the newest Triad Racing podcast episode, which is available now on Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, all of our major podcast outlets. It's centered on the Brown brothers, Jonathan and Joseph, also known as John Boy and Bobo. Tell us a little bit about these guys and what you're expecting tonight, because they did touch on the rivalry that they have with the Myers brothers, who also have a previous episode podcast with you on Triad Racing podcast. Talk a little bit about that rivalry. The last time John Boy and I think it was Randy Myers were on the track together, they got into a bit of a scuffle, if you will, with their vehicles and got suspended from last Saturday's racing. They're both going to be back tonight, and both of them are trying to position themselves to do something in that division. So what are you expecting tonight when they finally get back on the track again after a week suspension?
Well, Desmond, that's another of the hot topics at the Madhouse tonight. That was Jason Myers and Jonathan Brown, or John Boys, as fans call him. They got into a little bit of a demolition derby a couple weeks ago. It came all the way from NASCAR, Daytona Beach or Charlotte, whichever, and they set both of those men out for a week, cost them $1,000. And look, you know, that's a lot of money when you're Saturday night racing, okay? Mm-hmm. They both paid a $1,000 fine. And it cost both of them a chance to win $6,000 in extra bonus money that was on the line last week. And James Savali took that money, and he's one of those guys right up there in the championship. But, you know, a lot of eyes will be on Jonathan Brown and Jason tonight to see if that feud has cooled off and if they learned their lesson, or will they have round two tonight.
It didn't sound like it cooled off from listening to recording the podcast. It didn't sound like it was cool at all.
Yeah, if you listen to the podcast, Bobo Brown particularly was really upset with Jason Myers.
He was.
Jonathan was a little more even keeled about it, but the fire's still burning there. I think NASCAR, you know, is really going to be watching both sides of that. And, you know, Bobo ran his first race last week and qualified decent and went up there, and he ran all the way up second and finished fifth and ran a great race. It's the first time he raced all year. That young man had been battling cancer and got clearance from the doctors to run. And, you know, since there wasn't a Brown there, he wanted to race. Anyway, that's a pretty interesting little feud, and lost in all the excitement of Bobby Labonte racing tonight and Browns versus Myers. We've got the other Myers, Burt Myers, and the other Brown, Tim Brown, that are deadlock almost for a championship. Those two guys, respectively, between the two, have won 19 Bowman Gray Stadium Modified Championships. There's only 12 points separating the two. James Savali, who has been right up there in the mix all season, only 23 points behind with Hillbilly Racing. So it's a really close race for the championship in Modified. Street Stock, only 4 points between first and second. Only 4 points between first and second in Stadium Stock. There's a lot of great title battles across the board at Bowman Gray. And you know what, Desmond? We're running out of events, man. We got tonight and next Saturday night at Bowman Gray, and we got a big Friday night race next Friday night down at Ace. But the racing season's kind of winding down. Folks need to come on out and check it out. They'll have a blast.
So real quick before I let you go, Randy, tell me a little bit about the Triad Racing podcast. And you mentioned that the racing season's winding down, but my understanding is you have plans so the podcast isn't going to end when the racing season ends. So who are you going to have coming up, and will the podcast continue once the Bowman Gray season concludes here in 2 weeks?
The Triad Racing podcast, our plan is to have that to be year-round. We may take a break off, you know, during the week of Christmas or something like that. But for the most part, we're going to have somebody who is involved in racing here in the Triad on every week. Our scheduled guest for next week is Tim Brown, who is a 10-time modified champion at Bowman Gray. He's won more main events there than anybody else. And Tim is deadlocked in that battle with Burt Myers for the championship. We're going to have Tim and his brother, who has been his partner on that modified car pretty much since they started. They'll be our guests next week. And to come, we're going to have Chuck Wall and A.J. Sanders, who are battling neck and neck for the Bowman Gray Stadium Stock Championship and for the Mini Stock title down at Ace Speedway in Burlington. We're going to have those guys on, and we're going to continue to have the best of the best in Triad Racing as part of our podcast. It's a great program. Folks can go at all the various platforms you mentioned and listen. It's free. And, you know, you're going to hear something about local racing you didn't know. You'll be entertained. You'll laugh. And sometimes you might even cry, because we touch on a little bit of everything, including real life, on our podcast.
That's a fantastic Triad Racing podcast with Randy Pettit. You can catch that again on all major podcast outlets. Definitely get it. There's, if you're in the community right now, it's a Saturday. There's all kinds of stuff going on. The Dash are playing today. Bowman Gray's out here today. We got teams scrimmaging football and stuff. Like, get outside. Get out. Get out and go do something. But definitely go check out Bowman Gray if you get a chance. Hey, man, I will talk to you here in the next day or two. Appreciate you coming on and doing this for us, as you've done for most of the season. And have some fun tonight, man.
We will, man. You guys have a great weekend. And, again, Bowman Gray, wide open tonight. It's $12 to get in. The parking is free. Come early. It's general admission. Get you a great seat. Buckle up. It's going to be a great ride the last 2 weeks of the Bowman Gray season.
All right. Thanks, Randy. So we've got a couple of things, to some housekeeping to take care of here before we hit our next break. First, let's get a Twitter poll update from Aaron. Remind us of the question again. This week it was regarding the Carolina Panthers, and give us an update on what the public's feeling for that.
Indeed, we asked the listening public who they think will be the breakout player for the Carolina Panthers this season. Options being Dante Jackson, Curtis Samuel, and DJ Moore. I do want to note Dante Jackson has received 0 votes.
Wow. So disrespect towards Dante Jackson.
Like I
needed
to throw that out there, yeah. DJ Moore in the lead with 67% of the votes, feeling like he will be the breakout star of the season.
Wow, I ain't mad at that. I'm a little shocked that Dante didn't get a single vote.
Nary a vote.
He might be our best cornerback. Wow. But okay, public, that's cool. Let's do the rundown hot takes. We do this every week. Each week, every single one of us here give one hot take on something we saw this week or prediction on what will happen going forward in sports. I have a feeling there's probably going to be some A-B takes in here somewhere along the way. Sawyer, go ahead and hit us our music and let's get this underway.
You're listening to The Rundown.
Hot. Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot. Hot. Hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot.
With Desmond Johnson.
All right, who wants to go first? Who's going first with these? Rundown hot takes. Hot takes. Who's got them? Who's got them? What's up?
Brandon,
hot takes.
You
hot
up?
Takes.
Yep. You want to do a new hot
guy.
Take, Brandon?
You're a new guy, so everybody just everybody turned and looked at you.
I know, right? Okay. Hot take. Nah, y'all have to come back to me. I'll have one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I need a sec.
All right, Brandon. I'm peeking into my booth here.
I got one.
Oh, you got one?
One.
Okay, I'm okay. All right. Okay. All right, here we go.
My man, DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie Cousins for the Lakers this year, will get back healthy, and I see him averaging a double-double next to Anthony Davis this year.
Wow.
Okay. And I'm thinking more of like 16-12. Not a fringe double-double. My man's going to be a 16-12 type of guy this year. Boogie bounces back this year.
Is he starting?
He's starting at the 5 this year. I think him and Davis are starting together. You got Kyle Kuzma still there at the 3. And then whoever you want to throw at the 2, LeBron's running the 1. Doesn't really matter who's playing the 2 at that point.
Interesting.
Kuzma at the 3.
I like that. All right. Okay. I'm feeling that. You know I love the Laker love, so that's good. Rod?
My hot take is coming out of cheese country.
Uh-oh.
I believe that Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, will have a falling out before the preseason is over with his coach, Matt LaFleur.
Ooh.
I believe they will get into it. I believe it. There is not happiness up in Wisconsin.
We're not even going to get to the regular season?
They ain't even going to make it to the regular season. Man. You guys heard about the disagreement that they had on this last go-round, right?
No, but
Aaron Rodgers said that he hates having scrimmages with other teams. You know how teams come in and scrimmage?
He hates Matt LaFleur.
No. And Matt LaFleur goes, I love it. It's the best thing since sliced bread. So it's coming.
They didn't consult. It's coming. They didn't consult Aaron Rodgers on the hire at all.
They sure did not.
Now, he's 35, but, I mean, Drew Brees is at 40. Tom Brady's at, what, 42?
Big Ben's getting up there. Yeah. Matt Ryan's.
I mean, so it's almost like they were like, well, we don't even think you're going to be here in a couple of years, so we're just going to go ahead and hire this dude and just wait you out and see what happens. Because to me, I'm almost like, Aaron Rodgers been overrated the past couple of years? Is he still living off of a Super Bowl ring from 9 years ago?
To be honest with you, the last few years that they had made the playoffs, he put the book bag on his back, packed all the Packers in there, and carried them.
And he's
there.
Throwing like 70% completions, I know, I mean, and 4,000 yards and all that stuff. But I feel like we've elevated him to this status, and it's off of like one ring he won 9 years ago. And they have not made it back to the NFC Championship since then, have they? I don't believe.
No.
No, they haven't. But I got to say, he's not overrated. And this is why I say that. If you take
if you take
Aaron Rodgers and trade him out for Dak Prescott, Cowboys go to the Super Bowl last year. And the reason that I say that, every game that the Cowboys won, most of the time we didn't score over 17, 20 points.
You're right.
The defense is what held. But Aaron Rodgers didn't have the talent that's on Dallas's team. So if you put him with that talent,
I was gonna say put Zeke in Green Bay and they probably
then they probably
the
roll.
Yeah, he's never really had a thousand yard rusher. Yeah. I mean, they got the kid Aaron Jones this year.
All right, I'm looking in the booth, so I'm gonna go last because it's my show, so I'm just gonna go last. So I'm gonna give it to we'll let Aaron or Sawyer go first. And they're fighting over it. Who sounds like the old mom and dad?
Because I said so.
That's why.
I'm still formulating mine. I have a good idea where I'm gonna go, but let's start. It looks like Aaron's ready to go. You look a little froggy. Go ahead.
Tom Brady's getting traded this year.
Whoa!
Is that because of his house being up for sale?
It's happening.
Getting traded this year? They just gave him an extension.
Getting traded. Smoke and mirrors.
Wow. I
mean, technically, it was only one year extension.
Yeah, technically. I mean,
and his house is up for sale.
He's 42. Yeah, I give him 1 year extensions too. I'm not trying to book him for 5 years. Like, well, he's going to play till he's 50. Like, no, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I.
You know who's going to be looking for a quarterback?
Who?
The Oakland Raiders.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. You think. You think Gruden's going to bring him in and ditch Derek Carr?
Man, he can't stand that dude. You know, Gruden's hard-nosed, and Derek Carr's all like, we're going to Bible study this week, y'all. Gruden don't want nothing to do with Derek Carr.
I wish I had a John Gruden.
He said he wouldn't trade it. Yeah.
Josh Graham has a pretty good one. I can't.
That just blew your mind?
You got my mind thinking. Yeah. I don't think – it sounds – Belichickian. I think I just made that word up. Belichickian. It sounds like something Bill Belichick would do, but I don't know if he could get it past Robert Kraft. I don't know if Robert Kraft would be like, yeah, I guess we should trade him. Go on and trade Tommy Boy out of here, because, I mean, he's like a son to him,
what
right?
What are they going
to
get for him?
Right. What do you get for a 42-year-old Tom Brady, who, by the way, is the defending reigning MVP of the entire league?
And doesn't charge you like he's the number one quarterback.
Exactly.
Tom Brady's what now?
The defending reigning. Oh, wait. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
I forgot who was here.
Don't disrespect my guy like that.
That was the year before.
But he's a reigning Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been in Super Bowl the past 3 years.
That's fair.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, this guy does not charge you like he's the reigning Super Bowl champion. He's making like 20 mil.
Right. I mean, it might be less than that. I thought it was like 17. It may be 17. Crazy. Yeah. So, I mean.
Very underpaid.
In this day and age, if somebody's selling their house or whatever, that's an athlete, I don't take that to mean they're on the way out. I take that to mean they just want a bigger house. They just want to live someplace that's a little bit bigger or better than what they're already living. You can live wherever you want and still play wherever you want.
Well, I mean,
nowadays.
Let Janelle buy the house.
Shoot. Yeah, really? She's making, what, like $70 million a year or something crazy? Yeah. So, you got a hot take?
Yeah. All right, so I'm thinking, I've just been hearing the Jets talk, and I just keep hearing Sam Darnold, Le'Veon Bell. I know Le'Veon Bell, you know, previously you could say top three, top five running back. I think this season Le'Veon Bell is in, like, the top, like, I'm going to go pretty far, like top 15, top 20. Like he's going to be latter half. He's not going to be very good if he can stay the whole season and play it out. But I think he's I think his peak is past, and he's just going to – I don't think that's the way he runs is going to work out as well with the Jets than Pittsburgh.
I agree with that, because if you miss a year of football – it worked for Adrian Peterson, but Adrian Peterson is a damn mutant. You know what I mean? Like he needed
that
year
to get – and he was rehabbing.
He's a machine.
I mean, he came back, what, like in 7 months or something crazy from an ACL tear? Like with Le'Veon Bell and these other running backs, you need the hits. You need like the callous, you know, like be in there playing. He ain't played in a year. So, I mean – it's not like the Jets were fantastic when he arrived, so I'm not really sure how that's going to play out. Jets have become like a vogue, like pick to make the wild card out of that.
They're hype about Sam Darnold.
We're going to get into him after the break, too. We got NFC North and they're not in the East. We got them next week, but we'll get into them next week, too. I'm going to stay with the Killer Bees. I'm going back to what we opened up the show on. That's Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's going to retire. It's going to happen. Because he's been talking about it since March.
Do you really think he's going to retire?
He had an ESPN interview in March where he was basically saying, I don't need this. When you start saying, and you know this as a former player, Rod, when you start saying things like, I don't need this, or, I don't need this game to be who I am, or I could leave right now. When you start saying those things out loud, you've been entertaining those things probably in your mind for a while. And if he was saying that back in March, and he's now coming back to that, it's been in his head for a while that he could just leave whenever he wanted to and be perfectly fine in his body, you know, leaving healthy, which a lot of people don't get a chance to do in the NFL. He's got money. I mean,
so you're saying he's going to retire before the season starts?
I think so. I think he's going to retire. I think
it doesn't look like he's playing anytime soon.
He's going to play anytime soon.
Those dogs, his feet look crazy.
His feet look like he used like a cheese grater or something on him. Yeah. And he's a wide receiver. If he can't do what makes Antonio Brown, why would he come back at 50% of Antonio Brown? Like, it diminishes what he's done up to this point. Why not just do a Barry Sanders and just stop while you're ahead? Have your legs, have your head, not have CTE. Mm-hmm. You can walk with your children. I mean, why? Why do it at that point? And plus, you're in Oakland, man. You're in Oakland. It's not like
he sounds like.
You know what I mean?
He sounds like that guy on American Gangster when he was talking to him. He goes, "Quitting while you're ahead is not the same as quitting."
It's true though. It's like it'd be different if he was like still in Pittsburgh and they're getting picked to go to the Super Bowl,
right?
And you know all these high expectations, bro. You in Oakland? Like, y'all are going to be lucky to win four games this year, probably. Do you think Antonio Brown wants to go through a 4-12 season in Oakland, of all places?
I mean, there's pressure, though. They that new stadium they're playing in.
He's not going to make it the next year. Look at his feet. Look at his feet.
He's not playing this year.
So you think it's because of the feet?
I
think it's because of the helmet.
I think he's using the helmet as a cover. And the feet, I mean, his feet look like they should be, like, infected. You know what I mean? Like,
they do look infected.
They look infected.
Like very, very.
He might lose a foot. I'm gonna put that out there. I'm the first person in the media said he might lose a foot. Like, looking at these pictures, Antonio Brown is gonna lose a foot.
He just called Antonio Brown pig leg.
An amputee. Because, if you look at frostbite, Mr. D's, my man had frostbite. His toes aren't black. It looks like gangrene. What they're talking about in Forrest Gump. Yeah. Keep your socks dry out there. But Lieutenant Dan should have.
He looks like a Marvel villain. Like some kind of villain. Like, his skin is just peeling off of him. And he just goes walking around and just falls off of him everywhere. It's horrible. He can't run on those feet.
Yeah. I mean, it actually.
Can't run, he's gonna quit.
It looks like he stepped in a bad batch of cheese and half of the cheese stayed on and he couldn't get the rest off.
Like he fell in some lava, like some hot cold treatment or something.
He just walk around barefoot, just like cold. All summer long, just on everything, glass, rocks, small animals, just everything. Just he's not gonna play. That's my take. He's not gonna play. He would rather retire on top with the money he has than to come back as a shell of what he was. Because that's what happens when you go to Oakland. Look at when Randy Moss went to Oakland. What were they saying about Randy Moss? He fell off. He can't play. Over. Blah, blah, blah. Nah, man, he was in Oakland. He was in Oakland. That's what happened. He gets to Tom Brady. He scores 25 touchdowns the next year. Antonio Brown is going to quit. Now, that don't mean he might not come back. But I think he's going to quit. I don't think he's going to play the season. I think he's done. Wow. Well, for the season. And then Raiders cut him or something.
He's in his 30s.
I don't even think
he's 34.
I don't know how old he is. Like,
maybe
29, 30?
He's probably like 32.
He's been playing for a while. He was on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's 31.
So actually, he's on the other side of that. He's on the other side of that hill they like in the NFL once you get over 30.
Yeah, after 30, the money starts going down.
I mean, I just don't see it. Looking at those feet.
His feet look crazy.
They are messed up, like boomerang feet. You remember that?
Like, it looked like he was in Rambo with no shoes. Like,
kick him out.
Oh my God.
He needs to get a third opinion. Fourth, fifth.
Wrapping things up. Coming up, like we do every August, we're going to give you our predictions for every division in the NFL. We go with the NFC and AFC North. Antonio Brown's former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, can they win the NFC North, or will the team we've been talking about earlier, the Cleveland Browns, will they take them out? And we'll get to the NFC North, too, so we'll get to those predictions next.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party? Yeah!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
It's August, so it's time for our NFL predictions. Each Saturday during the preseason, we will preview two divisions leading up to the start of the NFL season. The first week of September. Today, we go with the NFC and the AFC North. And fellas, Rod Funderburk and Brandon Blakeney in studio with me here. Let's start with the AFC North. With all the talk about Cleveland and Pittsburgh, are we overlooking Baltimore considering they won the division last year.
I do think Baltimore is being overlooked a bit. They're returning a lot of talent, but also they got some new faces coming in as well. Remember, they picked up Earl Thomas to come into the secondary. He's looking to boost it, can kind of play that role that they've had, and he's playing next to Eric Weddle. That's going to be two playmaker safeties that are really going to be doing some things. Also, on the offensive side, you bring in Marquise Brown, who is the cousin of Antonio Brown. We've been talking a lot about Antonio Brown. Marquise Brown, out of Oklahoma will be very fun to watch. They call him Hollywood, and with a nickname like that, you know he's definitely coming in to bring some noise. So I like Marquise Brown a lot. Also, they added Mark Ingram as well in the backfield. So you get depth there, a hard runner who can also come out the backfield. And he's had some productive years with the Saints, and he should continue to be productive.
I'm so glad he's not New Orleans anymore.
Like, yeah.
That helps me. So get out of here, Mark Ingram. I'm so glad he's in Baltimore.
So, yeah, and then like we mentioned, Marquise Brown's there in the draft. They got him, Hollywood Brown, the cousin of Antonio Brown. So, you know, Lamar Jackson has a target to focus on. Also, you got to look at his second year in this system. He's going to take some strides. They're looking to get him to structure this offense around Lamar Jackson's strengths. So I think he'll have a better road as far as to success in the second year as well as a full-time starter. You do lose Terrell Suggs, C.J. Mosley, a lot to replace. But again, we got to go back to those safeties, Earl Thomas and Eric Weddle. Man, I mean, you're going to – that's tough. That's going to be a harder duo. That's a tough duo.
Who was that? That's what, Baltimore, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about them being in the back like that.
I mean, they got two ball hawks out there. It might be a no-fly zone, Aaron.
What's with the stink face,
it
man?
It might be a no-fly zone out there.
Why your face all scrunched up, Aaron? What's going on?
Eric Thomas and Eric Weddle would have sounded good 6 years ago.
Six.
Come on.
You're going to get a technical for that reaching foul you're doing. That reaching you're doing.
Earl Thomas done broke his leg how many times? Twice?
Twice.
And he's come back strong.
Eric Weddle is now on his third team. Sandy, the Chargers got rid of him.
How old is Eric Weddle?
No, this is his, he was before that.
The Chargers got rid of him, and he was somewhere else last year.
He was with Baltimore last year.
Eric Weddle's 34.
Yeah, man, them dudes might
still
be
making
that
plays.
Might be one of the oldest defensive backfields in the league.
Earl Thomas is 30. So he ain't the Earl Thomas is still trick. Earl Thomas oh, is still I wouldn't mind Earl He's, Thomas myself. Like
same,
Earl Thomas
I
is
wanted
still,
the Panthers to get him and the Cowboys, that was supposed to be a done deal, honestly. Mm-hmm.
You remember Earl when he was Thomas chasing was Jason Garrett in the down the tunnel? Hey man, come get me.
And he's a Texas guy.
And they said they passed on him.
But they've never paid their defensive backs, so they got rid of everybody a couple years ago.
So real quick, I got to do this kind of lightning round here. How special of a season can the Browns have? Because Vegas apparently is – they have turned into the darlings of Las Vegas with a lot of people putting money on the Browns. Can they make it to the Super Bowl?
I put money on them winning 10 games, but
Ooh,
them beating the Patriots or the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean, Cleveland going to Cleveland regardless.
I mean, 10 wins is a lot for the Cleveland
Browns.
We
saw their schedule, though. They've got a
got
few cupcakes in there.
I mean, nine wins.
They're so talented.
You did read off the schedule.
And, I mean, you got probably the best duo in the on the wide receiver side in Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. Baker Mayfield's up and coming, very fast, competitive guy.
He looked good Thursday night. Man, he looked on point.
I think Baker Mayfield may be the X factor. You know, a lot of times if you have a good preseason, you're doing well, and that regular season starts, you kind of get that Brett Favre mentality, the gunslinger.
Yeah.
And you start slinging that ball. You know, if you hit him, you can do great. But if you sling that ball and you miss a few and they get returned or you get hit off for pick sixes, then that could be an issue. But, you know, looking at – Cleveland's schedule, I think they could win 9 games this year. I really do. Matter of fact, Dez, if you remember last year, I told you they could win 7, and they won just that.
Yep, after they got Hugh Jackson all up out of there.
Yeah, finally. I mean, they've got a good tight end, good receivers. And one guy we didn't talk about in that running back, we mentioned they lost Duke. They also still have Nick Chubb.
Yes, which is why Duke Johnson's no longer there.
He's like a 1,000-yard rusher just about
Nick
last
Chubb's
going
to be a problem
for
them.
He's tough.
Aaron?
The Ravens moved off of Eric Weddle. He's in L.A. He's with the Rams.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said 13.
Yes, that makes me feel better about the Rams then, because he is 35 or whatever, however age I said he was. 34. He'll turn 35 in January. So, I mean.
I still don't trust Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas is a dog.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Pittsburgh, will Pittsburgh take a step back with the departures of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown with his cheese-looking feet, or will he keep, or will they keep moving and win this division?
No, they will not take a step back. Matter of fact, I think they will be much better. You're talking about Pittsburgh Steelers has one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Addition by
and
subtraction?
You already know.
I can
when
see it.
You're in the league, it starts up front with the big horses, the big hogs. Whoever wins the line of scrimmage normally wins the ball game.
Trenches.
And you got to remember, Connor came in for Le'Veon Bell, and it was like he didn't miss a beat. Why? Because of that offensive line.
Look good.
Period.
Juju Smith's still there.
Juju Smith, yep, he's still there.
So who wins this division, AFC North?
I'm going Browns, Steelers, Ravens, and then I'm putting the Bengals last. No shade to A.J. Green.
We didn't even talk about the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing really.
Joe Mixon, A.J. Green, Andy Dalton. The usual character.
A.J. Green's hurt, right?
Yeah, he's got to come back healthy, but the same characters. Different season.
Yeah, I've got Mike Tomlin, although he has a one-year extension. I've got Mike Tomlin winning this division, him, Ben Roethlisberger, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming in second, the Cleveland Browns possibly getting a wild card. I think Baltimore is going to be looking outside in. And then, of course, coming in last will be Cincinnati.
I'm going to pick – I'm going to go with the Steelers, too. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record.
Never.
As a Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. So
that defense has got to improve.
Yeah, the defense has got to improve. And the Browns-Steelers are going to be – that's going to be some pretty good games
this
year.
I think they got their new linebacker now to
replace. Devin Bush.
Yes,
that kid is an animal.
And when the Steelers have a linebacker that can do that kind of stuff – I'm picking them.
Just
and they still got Big Ben. And Ben has made wide receivers look good for the past decade. Like Antonio Brown needs to send him a thank you card for the money
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers do a really good job.
They draft receivers really
well. They do.
Well.
Right. And
these
they
are middle round guys that they develop.
Right, they develop receivers.
Because Emmanuel Sanders is still a really good receiver, too. In
Juju
his own right.
was a middle round guy. Antonio Brown wasn't highly drafted. So I think we're all kind of seeing Steelers there.
Yeah, they've always
Cleveland
done
Mike Wallace. Yeah, another guy.
Real quick, NFC North, did the Packers make a mistake by not consulting with Aaron Rodgers before hiring Matt LaFleur as head coach? We touched on this earlier in the show, that they don't seem to be on the same page. Aaron Rodgers is starting to come off to me as kind of diva-ish.
Yep.
You know, like,
yeah, I mean, you're a player at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He's not management.
He's always struck me as this guy that he would be that guy that I didn't like at the bar because he was just like this cocky, just arrogant kind of – dude, I don't know. I can't explain it. But I've never fully embraced Aaron Rodgers because of his, like, how his demeanor, like how he is, like he's above the team.
Even when Brett Favre was there and he was wanting to get Brett Favre out of the way, I didn't like.
Oh,
that
I know, I wouldn't like him at the bar. Have you seen him chug a beer?
Yeah,
that was embarrassing.
I couldn't even call that chugging a beer. And I asked this earlier too. Have we been overrating Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback?
I don't think so. I mean, he's still 35.
Let me pull his stats.
And he's throwing the ball 40 times a game still, putting the Packers on his back, carrying the franchise at this age. I mean, the only reason they're in the playoffs or even in contention for playoffs year to year is because of Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sorry. I pulled up his stats. So just last year. Now, keep in mind, he got hurt week one. It's leg or something like that.
Yeah,
can't remember. And played.
Injuries.
I don't think he missed any,
so
any
one
games.
Leg and came back.
He was 62% completion. He threw for 4,442 yards, 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he had a 97.6 rating.
And we're having the conversation. This man overrated?
Yeah, so we're just going to drop that. I'm just going to not even bring that back up again.
He's the only reason they're relevant. Yeah. Wow.
And like I said, I would take him over.
25-2. Oh, my gosh.
2 interceptions.
Well, there's Brandon. Like I said before, I'd take him over Dak Prescott with the Cowboys.
Yeah, you
day.
Would.
Oh, yeah.
Any all day.
Yes,
I
would.
I mean, you always see these quarterbacks, like, besides, I guess, Patrick Mahomes, like, last year, some of these throws that Aaron Rodgers makes, like, every season, you've never
across
seen.
Across
like,
the body.
Across the body, half, like, throughout the half the field, like,
Pat
50
Mahomes,
yards.
Running the opposite way.
Pat Mahomes has made the world forget that Aaron Rodgers can do that.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Because
Pat Mahomes is out here throwing spirals with both hands.
He's throwing left-handed. He's throwing not looking.
Aaron's just like just taking it all in. Just wash it all in. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, all these defensive coordinators have a year of tape on Pat Mahomes.
That's fine.
And it's not gonna be as easy as
that's
it was.
Fine.
It ain't gonna be no 50
touchdowns.
And he's
got that Madden curse chasing him too.
That's fine. Ooh,
that's right. He on the cover.
Man is out here an A&1 mixtape on the NFL football field. Like.
The no look pass was
that's
ridiculous
outrageous.
Last year. It was like, dude,
no look.
How you throw a no look pass of football
on 3rd and 10
on the run?
On the run,
on the run
in his own like way deep I've in the shadow of like
yet. Aaron, how was the weather that day? Was it raining and cold or was it sunshine?
He dropped it flipping. It was a nice foot of snow. Outside
with a note. In a foot of snow. Any hope for the Lions to make noise this year?
No.
Yeah, they're gonna go. Ow, ow,
ow. The Bears.
You talk about overrated. I want to talk about Matthew Stafford. That's overrated. And I mean, dude's making bank.
But all those teams that have those quarterbacks that are making bank like that, they seem like they don't get in.
You can't to the pay anybody
more
else.
Often than not. The Bears won this division last year. But again, Rodgers was beat up from week one. The Vikings defense took a slide. Do you expect the Bears to get better or fall back towards the world of 500?
The Bears will win this division again this year. Mm. Trubisky is getting better. He played fairly well last year. Him and the offensive coordinator are doing great, working great together. And then how in the world do you even think about betting against Khalil Mack after the damage he did last year?
He's defending defensive MVP.
And he's a generational type of talent, the way that he impacts the game.
Which is why I don't understand John Gruden trading him away and then 4 weeks later going, well, we need some pass rushers.
Yeah, which is absolutely nuts.
You had like the best pass rusher in the league. Game.
And, I mean, he's returning picks. He's wrecking lines. I mean, you see when he's just throwing grown men, grown linemen with one hand?
We going to Chicago here?
Yeah. I'm going Chicago.
I'm going Chicago. Tyreek Cohen, Triad Native, Packers, looking for a better
look. Well, I got the Packers second and possibly making a wild card.
But you said that LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers weren't going to – it wasn't going to work out before the season, like preseason ended, right?
Yeah, but then who's left in the division? You got Detroit. Yeah.
I will say the Vikings. No. Yeah. The Vikings, I think, will make some noise.
Do you know who the Vikings quarterback is?
Kirk Cousins threw for 4,298 yards last year.
He threw
30
70%.
Touchdowns.
He threw for 7%.
Only 10.
He does great in the regular season, but when it counts, he stinks up the joint.
Hasn't he only beaten like one or two teams with a winning record?
They got to get better on the defensive end. Their defense took a step back.
I think they were banged up too.
Yeah, they got 2,000 yard receivers and Stephon Diggs, Adam
DeLay. They got Dalvin Cook's going to be back.
Dalvin
he missed
Cook,
all year.
And that was a big blow because Dalvin Cook was basically a 1,000 yard
I think Minnesota's going to be a dark horse in that division, but I'm inclined to
Adam Barr's got to step up at linebacker.
I'm gonna go to Packers, man, because I feel like Chicago's one of those teams where they're gonna be good one year and come back the next, kind of like the way the Panthers are. And I kind of feel like with them being dependent on defense and with the schedule being a little tougher for them this year because they're playing a first place schedule this year, I think it's an opportunity for Green Bay to have one last push to do this before Aaron Rodgers gets too old to do this. Although that's a matter of debate now, what too old means at quarterback, but I need to take a break. We've got our last one coming up. Odds and ends, rapid fire round. We get 1 minute to debate a random topic. You don't want to miss this. Next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Download full episodes of The Rundown at sportshubtribe.com, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and more. Simply search for The Rundown with Desmond Johnson. Download it and go. Sawyer, set a stop clock for 1 minute. At the end of the 1 minute, we will hear a buzzer sound. Five or six topics, rapid fire to end us out on this beautiful Saturday morning. Let's go.
All right, here we go. First up, Tom Brady has put his home up for sale this week. His new extension with the Pats is essentially a one-year deal. Is this the last season we see Brady in a Patriots uniform?
I hope so. I'm sick of this.
I got to be very careful with this because every year I say this is the last year Tom Brady's playing, and then he ends up in the Super Bowl and either winning it or losing it at the last second and have to go through this groundhog style all over again. He's 42. I mean, eventually it's got to catch up to him.
What did he say he's going to play until he's 45?
That's what he said.
I think he'll play until 45.
I think he thought that meant playing for the Patriots, though. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine him wanting to start over like with the Titans or somebody at age 43.
I don't see that. I mean, you're not going to get much for him at this point.
Yeah.
Not a first rounder.
No,
man, Brady's
Lord,
gonna,
no.
Brady's going to be back playing next year, period.
With the Patriots?
Probably.
Yeah. I told you he's the cheapest, goodest quarterback you're going to find.
Cheapest goodest.
It's like a Little Caesar's pizza.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's the cheapest goodest.
All right, next up. Will you watch any preseason football this season beyond the second quarter?
Normally I do. I don't know if I will this time around. Yeah, I mean, they tricked me because they kept saying it was a Jake DeLome feature at halftime. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to check this out because I know he's going to be in the Hall of Honor. Waited all the way through the second quarter, which I would have stopped watching, and got to halftime and realized it was something I had already watched on YouTube like a month prior. And it was a condensed version of it at that. And I was just like, oh, man, I just wasted like an hour of my life waiting on this. And I already saw it. So the third game I always watched pretty much until the fourth quarter. Fourth game, I never watch the fourth game. Like, there's no reason to.
Nah,
like,
you
the
know.
Starters don't play. And
oh, yeah.
You know what's going on by then.
Well, yeah. I'm a football junkie. So I watch it. And then I want to know who's going to make the team, who's going to make the 53-man roster. I'm like, you should get cut. Oh, you're not going to have a job. Oh, you're stupid. Really? You don't want to play football.
You've been watching some Jerry Jones.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm all over it.
All right, next up. Tiger Woods dropped out of the Northern Trust at Liberty National with an oblique strain after winning his 15th major and two additional victories. Are we watching the end of Tiger Woods and don't even realize it?
Why do we keep having this same conversation, what, the about end Tiger of Woods? Tiger Woods? Because he comes back death. Even stronger. I mean, they said he was done, and he comes back and wins a green jacket.
But then he's, like, fallen off since then, and, like, it feels like his body is breaking down on him. Like, it's his back, it's his legs, it's, like, just his shoulders.
Swung wrong and maybe doing something. Like, I feel like he just had a bad swing and damaged
Man,
the oblique.
Tiger Woods need to go see Magic Johnson's doctors over in Africa. Hell,
he's coming back strong, I think. He's got enough points right now to go, you know, to the next round of playoffs. I think he plays in the BMW event next week.
I think he's done, man. Not done, but I don't think we're ever going to see. I don't think Tiger Woods is going to win another major again, like at this point. Like
Again.
He's just getting, every day he's just getting older. And when you have messed up back, no matter how many times they go in there, your back
and
is messed up.
And now it's the front, too, with the oblique. That sounds painful.
Yeah,
man.
Swinging the way he swings violently. Like, I don't think
I mean, all the problems y'all describing, his girlfriend must hate him.
He's a he's dead potato.
Here we go. SummerSlam is this weekend. Brock Lesnar takes on Seth Rollins for the Universal title, and WWE Champion Kofi Kingston takes on Randy Orton. Who wins these two title matches?
Does anyone here watch wrestling?
I'm taking Seth Rollins and Kofi Kingston.
All right. So both. So Seth's going to get the title back.
Yeah,
and Kofi's going to retain.
I think Seth's going to get it back. He's a big star, one of the big faces in wrestling right now. Kofi Kingston, man, he's just riding his wave, riding the wave.
And let Brock into UFC. Let him lose and let Brock go fight.
I think he officially said he was done with UFC, and I think a lot of that's because he couldn't pass the doping test.
They don't allow roids, and they don't pay as well as WWE.
Right, and WWE can come in there and work like 3 times a month and get paid $1 million. I mean, it's pretty cake. They keep giving him the belt, so I think Seth is going to beat Brock. They're kind of setting it up that way. I'm pretty sure I'm agree with Brandon. Kofi's going to retain over Randy Orton. SummerSlam is this Sunday night, starting at, it's one of the main four, so it'll probably start at 5 and it'll run till like midnight. It's kind of like WrestleMania, so 7 hours of WWE. Yay!
Did y'all see that RKO she had on him on their
girl?
Vacation?
Yes. Textbook.
All right, Carmelo Anthony apparently reached out to Team USA to join the team, but was denied the request. Anthony is the only person to win 2 gold medals for the U.S. basketball program. Did Team USA make a mistake denying Melo, and is this the worst roster since pros became eligible in 1992?
Real quick, before people blow me up on social media, it's not 2 gold medals, it's 3. That's my fault. That's a typo on me.
3 gold
medals. He's the only person to win 3 gold medals for the USA basketball team. Did they make a mistake denying him? Probably, because when I look at the roster, it is dumpster juice.
It's very bronze medalish.
Yes.
I want to say.
It screams fifth place.
You just lost Trey Jones. But, or Trey Young, excuse me. You need Melo for leadership.
Was he on the team?
Well, he was heavily. I was assuming he was going to make it.
I just saw they cut Bam Adebayo here out of High Point. They cut him and
he looked
and
good.
Trey Young, I think it was. They cut them.
Well,
too,
Trey Young got hurt.
Oh, he got hurt. Well,
so he cut himself.
And Carmelo has won 3 golds.
Yeah, right, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Carmelo's won 3.
So how do you deny 3-time champion? None of those other guys.
Nobody wants Carmelo.
Give our man his due.
They think it's going to be a distraction because they think he's trying to reestablish himself,
which he is.
Yeah,
he is.
I think they just don't want that distraction.
Check out SportsCarolinaMonthly.com daily for the latest news on your favorite sports teams and NC. Weekly podcast, franchise players, Don't Try This at Home, pro wrestling podcast, A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, Live with Brandon Blakeney.
Yes, sir, you do.
And previous episodes of The Rundown, in-depth articles written by some of the best talent around, and more. That's SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. We are out. We will see you next Saturday.